He's the same Jesus. And it's the same word. It is exactly the same power. It is the same power of the same Holy Spirit. And he said, it's the Father within me. He does the works.
Everybody, praise the Lord. Hey, thank God it's Friday. Oh, look, we got a side section over here tonight. Yay, I'm so glad to see you over there. And how about over here? Glory to God, welcome. I want to welcome all of you tonight to the Calgary, Alberta, Canada Victory Campaign. Are you feeling the victory? This is the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I am Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson. I am, what am I? Maybe I should have asked somebody else. I'm not sure. I'm here, though, leading pre-service prayer, and it's a great honor for many reasons. It's always an honor to do anything with my dad. So I was remembering when I was in college, and up until I went to college, I didn't know anybody really knew who Kenneth Copeland was. You know, maybe in our meetings, and they weren't all that big. But word spread around campus at ORU that Kenneth Copeland's daughter was there. And so it was kind of a hot thing for a few weeks there. And so people are calling and so forth, all that. And so my resident advisor said, "Oh, that just must make you feel so bad. Don't be discouraged, Terry. God loves you for who you are, and you need to find your own identity." And she went all, I said, "Oh, fooey on that." I said, "If I was anybody but Kenneth Copeland's daughter, nobody would give a hoot that I was here. And on top of that, nobody would be asking me for prayer or asking me to come do their wing devotions." I said, "As far as I'm concerned, they can put it on my tombstone. Here lies Kenneth Copeland's daughter." Does it make any difference to me? Are you kidding? And with eyebrows like this, it's hard to run from anyway. Praise the Lord. So I'm honored to be here with him. And I tell you what else, I am honored to be here with you. I'm honored to be in the nation of Canada. I'm honored to be here again in Calgary. I'm honored to be with you, but most especially, I'm honored to go to the throne with you. You know, it matters who you go to the throne with. It matters because some people, it was said of Sister Jeannie Wilkerson, there was a word of the Lord that came to her from someone else, and the word was, "Heaven knows you here." They know when Jeannie Wilkerson came before the throne. Well, I believe that before this time is up, that heaven knows we're there. Amen? Faith makes a difference that way. Now, I hope you remember, but in case you don't or you haven't heard, the Lord said to me several years ago, there's something about it when people who know how to use their faith come together to pray with that specific purpose. And those of you that are here right at the beginning, I know you're here to pray. I know you came to be a part of what God's doing in this meeting, and there's no investment like a prayer investment. Even your financial investment, your time investment, your study investment, all that you invested just to be here is all kicked up a notch by the time when you invest your prayer time, when you invest your heart in it. Now, we've been talking about the ministry of the prophet. How many of you heard that just come out in Brother Copeland's message this morning? Did you hear that? Hallelujah. I did not talk to him about this. I don't know if he heard what we said this morning about it. I don't know. But obviously he hadn't intended to preach on it, but I'm glad he did. I learned some things. Now, in Luke chapter 3, we were looking at the prophetic ministry of John the Baptist. And we went through the scripture, and it shows how he talked to and was assigned to different realms of people. That's a great word. And it helps us to realize some things, even in our political realm. Sometimes we want to vote and elect people that are just like us. But we need people who are anointed and equipped and called to operate in a realm that we are, for the most part, unfamiliar with. You know, I don't operate in that realm all the time. And so it's good for us to have people that operate in that realm, but it's good for us to know how to pray in that realm.
Well, thank you, brother. That's very good. It looks like somebody went shopping for me. No, I know what those are. So praise God. So anyway, it lists these realms, and the one that we talked about this morning, which I didn't even think about it when we were talking about it till afterwards, but John the Baptist, it says the multitudes asked him. So that was the group number one, the general public. And then the tax collectors came to him. So he spoke into the financial realm, and it was a move of God that got him out there. And they said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And it was his teaching ministry that was injected and injected the prophetic office into that financial realm. Then it goes on to say, and those serving as soldiers also asked him, "What shall we do?" So there was a move of God that God intended in the military realm and in all the effects of it. And so by the grace of God, by the working of God, John's office, the door opened for him to speak into the military realm. And then it goes on, in Matthew chapter 3, and it mentions another group in the same account of this, but in Matthew 3, it mentions yet another group, and that was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or the religious world, the people of the book. Now, we know there was corruption in all those areas at the time. We know that from history and from scripture. But I wanted to talk to you about both of those categories for a few moments. The Sadducees and Pharisees and the soldiers, the military. Well, in the military, I wanted to give you an example of something with Brother Copeland. It's just one example. But a number of years ago, back in about 1982, somewhere along about 82, the Lord told my dad to begin to minister to and welcome home the Vietnam soldiers. Now, I don't know how it was for you in Canada, probably very similar to what it was in the States. And they were not welcomed home at all. As they began to come back in the early to mid, then on into the later 70s, as they were evacuated and brought out, they were spat on, called names, and many of them, that war was so tragic and traumatic. It was spiritual. It was darkness. It was political. It was an awful situation. And then to come back here and to be called all kinds of horrific names and just brought right back into a culture of drugs, drug abuse, death, suicide. It was a horrible, dark time for us in the States. Was it that way in Canada? Raise your hands for me and wave at me if it was. Was it? Did you have that issues here? Some of you experienced that or saw that. Well, it was a very dark time there in the United States. So we're talking 1982 into 1983. So this was really still happening, even though the soldiers were home from Vietnam. The attitude towards the military was still very vicious and demonically provoked. So the Lord said to my dad, begin to minister to them and tell them, welcome home, soldier, job well done. And so we created this big banner across the back, and Dad would just simply stand up, talk a little bit about the war, talk about the nature of war and some of the other things that were characteristic of the Vietnam era. And then he began to tell them what the Lord had told him to say. And then he would end with he would have them all stand, and he would pray for them, and he would take authority over the tormenting spirits in their night and in their sleep and the abuse and the misery that they'd had, and,
And there were a number of soldiers in our congregations at that time. And of course, most of them still pretty young, having come back from that war. And then he would say, "Welcome home, soldier." And this banner would drop down and it said, "Welcome home, soldier, job well done." And everybody cheered and welcomed and applauded, and glory to God, it was wonderful. And we got reports from soldiers for years to come. And he must have done that for a couple of years, I think, in all of our meetings. And we got reports back, testimonies. The nightmares have stopped. The night sweats have stopped. I'm freed. I'm delivered. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. That was a wonderful thing. But the prophet's ministry, though, did a lot to minister to those men and women. It also reached out into that realm and went out beyond even those that heard him speak. We had several thousand people in our meetings back then. It would be a nice large crowd, maybe 5,000, 6,000 at a time or more. But nowhere, and we probably did it on television a time or two on our broadcast. But all of a sudden, about that time, there began to be a surgence of this sudden bright idea that we should do something for the Vietnam veterans. And the idea came about the Vietnam Memorial. And they began to raise money for that memorial, and they did a small traveling version of that memorial that went all across the United States. And as that memorial traveled across the United States, there was a wave of change of attitude across the whole country. All of a sudden, war movies are coming out in defense of the military. War movies that were showing what those soldiers went through. And there was empathy, there was sympathy, there was ministry, there was an increase, there was outreach. And this ministry of deliverance went and spread all across the country and continued on for years and years and years. And our nation was delivered, because that's a dishonor. That's a dishonor before God to treat the military that way. And so that whole thing was healed. And as far as that nationwide attitude against the military. So have we had disliked, unfavorable military situations since? Yes, we have. But never have we had our nation as a whole stand against the military like that era. So do you see the work of the prophet? Do you see what happened? It wasn't just the words that people heard. The voice of the prophet reaches into realms, and it shifts and it changes things. It causes things to happen. Jeremiah was a great prophet, and the scripture says in Jeremiah that God told him to take the cup of his judgment to every king on the earth. Now, how's he going to do that from a jail cell? But by the Spirit and by the declaration of his words, he began to declare the kings over all the nations that were known at that time. He declared the kings over all the islands, over all the coastlands. He named them all and said, "Drink of the cup of the wrath and the judgment of God where Israel is concerned." And that judgment went into effect and stands to this day because of the word of a prophet, whether anybody heard him or not. It's the voice of God in the earth that changes things. Now, the thing that empowers that voice, the thing that draws that voice out, is the prayers of the saints. As we pray for our nation, as we pray for the will of God, I think about the Iron Curtain in Eastern Europe and how the saints had prayed for 70 years for that wall to fall. But there was a group of people that got a hold of Brother Hagin's books on the authority of the believer. And when they got a hold of that and they began to speak and pray in faith at a different level, well, things are happening. The pressure was on. So what happened? All those prayers were building up a spiritual pressure against a spiritual dam. That was a spiritual wall that was there, not just concrete, barbed wire. But it was a spiritual wall that was surrounding. And so the saints are praying. I remember as a little girl in Sunday school, praying for the Christians behind the Iron Curtain. And so people were praying, but those believers got a hold of that word of faith, began to pray and take authority over that and command that wall to come down. Well, they prayed and they prayed, and we're praying 70 years of prayer. But one morning at Eagle Mountain International Church, although these many years ago, whatever year that was, 1990 something, the three was it? And he, my dad stepped up, I believe it was maybe even Christmas morning. He stepped up on the platform and gave a faith command for that wall to come down. And you know what? It was down. It was down in a matter of a few weeks, 70 years. And lots of things came down with that wall. Lots of things came down, and the gospel began to be preached all over Russia and the Eastern European countries. Well, did it come down just because the prophet prophesied? Well, let's put it this way. The prayers of the saints put a demand that put a requirement for God to move, and he moved through the voice of the prophet. Now, without it, would that wall have come down? I don't know. But God chose to do it that way. God chose that a prophet stand up and declare it, and it was a prophet anointed and equipped to speak into that realm, and by the authority of the Almighty spoke, and by God's voice, that wall couldn't do anything but come down. And it came down just the way those believing saints prayed, without any bloodshed. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. So I wanted you to see that this is the operation of the prophet's ministry. Oral Roberts, a prophet of God. Then we talked about the Pharisees and Sadducees, that religious realm, what we would compare today, that realm of the body of Christ and the leaders. Oral Roberts in the 40s and 50s was preaching God is a good God, and they tried to kill him for it. Not once, not twice, but many times. People tried to excommunicate him out of the church. They tried to shoot him. They tried to turn his car over. There was a assassination attempts and life threats all the time. But because he said God is a good God. Imagine it. And a lot of them, Christian people, they didn't like it that he said God is a good God. And he proved it with signs, wonders, and miracles. But by that time went through, 40s, 50s, into the 60s, what had happened? The whole atmosphere and mindset of the body of Christ was so altered and changed, it is unthinkable, even to people that never heard of Oral Roberts, to think that God is anything but a good God. Now, they don't all understand what a good God does and doesn't do, but people were mad just because he said God was good. Oh, my goodness. But the voice of the prophet, by the anointing that went into the very workings of that realm, changed the mindset of the whole body of Christ and opened up the door. There had to be an acceptance that God is a good God for the charismatic outpouring, the Catholic renewal, and the word of faith to all come out there in the 60s and to sweep across the nation and the world. So you see how that works? So are we without that need now? Don't we need the voice of the prophet? Is Brother Copeland the only prophet? No, absolutely not. But he is a most significant prophet in the land today, and increasing in the spiritual influence and authority that God has given him. All the more reason that we should pray. And our demand is not on him. We never put a demand on a person. But our demand is on the Lord who said, require of me, request of me, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations. So when we put that kind of demand on the word of the Lord, then it activates, and we pray for the prophet as he asked us to do today for utterance. We pray for him for boldness. We pray for him for strength. We pray for him to function and flow and operate over in that realm of the spirit with ease, with confidence, with boldness, with security, all the while resting in the Lord and not struggling, but able to just open his mouth and the word of the Lord. And the atmosphere that we provided this place provides a place for the prophet to step into a place ready to hear, ready to receive, ready to take action, faith action on the words that we hear. Are you ready to pray? Amen. All right. Now, the last thing I want to say to you, and I think tomorrow I will get more to this, but I want to mention this tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we won't spend time looking at the scriptures for time's sake. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first verse says, now about spiritual gifts. But in the original, the word gifts is not there. So what he really said is now about spirituals, or about things that pertain to the spirit. About spiritual things, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And he goes on to talk about three different major categories of things that are pertaining to the Holy Spirit. The first one was the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. We know them as the nine gifts. But then he talks about the body of Christ. How could anything be more spiritual than the body of Christ? But then he talks about the ministry gifts, and he talks about them broadly, not only the pulpit ministry gifts, but also other ministry gifts that God puts in the church for the edification of the church, including helps, administrations. He said apostles, prophets, teachers. He talks about the miracle workers, like the evangelists. He says tongues and interpretation, all the operations of the Spirit on men and women in the church. And he said, now all of these gifts, Amplified says graces. So all of these things that are graces given to the church, the equipping of the church for the work of the ministry, grace for you to be what God wants you to be, grace for you to do what God wants you to do, grace to have what He wants you to have, all of that flows through those ministry gifts that God has given. He said, now you should desire and covet the best gifts. You remember that verse? What does he mean by that? Well, they have to be wanted. It's when we desire, oh God, we long for the voice of the prophet. We long for the ministry of the pastor and the teacher. We long for the operations of the Spirit. And we don't send the Holy Ghost to the back room so nobody hears us pray in tongues. We don't send the Holy Ghost to the back room so that nobody sees us operate in the gifts, but we honor and we reverence and we long for and we pray for and we give plenty of opportunity. And you've done that by being here tonight. But then he ends that verse with this statement. He said, yet I'm going to show you something that's even more important to this than just desiring it. Desiring it is good. Cultivating is good. But I'm going to show you something even more important, he said, and that is love. And he goes on then in chapter 13 and describes love and how love is the atmosphere. Love is the atmosphere in which these gifts manifest. Love is the atmosphere in which these gifts best operate. It goes on after the verses that describe, you know, love is patient, love is kind, so forth. And it says that there will come an end to prophecy. Well, he's not talking about the end of prophecy in the age. He's talking about if you don't walk in love, it'll shut prophecy down. If you don't love the prophet, it'll shut the prophet down. If you don't love your pastor, it will shut down the pastor's anointing in your life. So how much tonight, if you would stand please now, as we pray and we begin to pray over and under that anointing, that equipping of love for the prophet, love for Brother Copeland. You know, go ahead and put a name on it. This is Brother Kenneth Copeland, a man just as you or me, just a person, and yet equipped and anointed of God, which elevates His purpose for us in our lives. And so I want you by faith, the love of God is in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And I want to ask you by faith to look in your heart and just look for that tender, compassionate, love, gratitude place that you have for such a ministry gift in this room tonight. And let's create then, by the help of the Spirit, an atmosphere, and create by the help of the Spirit a place where He can just step in and that ministry gift just work, whether it's through teaching or prophesying or the ministry gifts that to flow. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we approach the throne of God, the most gracious and wonderful, holy throne of God. And His throne, oh God, is the throne of love. It's the throne of your kingdom. It's the throne of you. And the word tells us, Lord, that you are the God of love. And while we spent this time, Lord, recognizing all that the prophet's ministry can do and the impact that it can have in nations and in realms and to change the very spiritual structure and DNA of the body of Christ in this nation and around the world when it's your choice and your will. Lord, we value that. But Lord, we don't long to see it just because it's something flamboyant or something something flashy, but Lord, it's something born of the heart of God, something born of your love for us. And Lord, out of our love for you, we lift up Brother Copeland. We lift up this time tonight. We hold it before you in the name of Jesus. And we let our love be known, Lord, to you, our love for you, our love for the ministry gifts, our love for the operation of the Holy Spirit, our love for one another, our love for the body of Christ. Lord, it's because you love the church that Jesus came. It's because you love the church that Jesus is seated at the right hand. It's because you love the church that you gave us gifts among men. It's because you love us, Lord, and we value and appreciate that love. So now, Lord, we yield our hearts and our mouths to praying in the Spirit so that the love of God, which is in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that, Lord, the love of Jesus will come out of us and make a place tonight, Lord, for this ministry gift. Lift your voice. Look for, add love. Don't just pray in tongues like it doesn't mean anything. Put love in it. Listen to the sound of my voice if you need to and hook up with that. Lord, Lord, we pray over the eyes of Kabosani Namashtalaki. The eyes, Lord, the eyes of Kabrobositata. His eyes, Lord, to see Arobogosikle. The eyes, Lord, the eyes, your eyes, Akobosorina Mashtalaki, to see what you see, to know what you know, so we can say what you want said. Akabashaodesata. Lord, Alokomosinglegavasosteki. The eyes of a kosov levrashtoka inalaki, and the compassions of Rafusiglegisadobogotste, the compassion supply, the compassion supply, over a shatarigibit soteki. Nehinakadso sobradati, led egovoshona redamaragabat soklo kobashti de bezasi. Hederikitsadobradarashichata, Pastor George, we come up. Ebrado dosik legibasa dogo bosidra darabasitani. Oneredi shagrobele kisas odeninia. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So, Lord, the free flow of utterance. Lord, our desire is for an ease. Our desire is for strength. Our desire is for the equipping. Our desire is for utterance. Our desire, Lord, is for a soul that kishodavastaki. And Lord, in defense, Lord, we stand boldly in the name of Jesus and say, you'll touch not God's anointed and you'll do his prophet no harm in the name of Jesus. You'll not hinder him. You'll not harass him. You'll not stop him, not confuse him or disturb or distract him in any way. But his eyes are the eyes of God. His ears are as the ears of God. His heart is as the heart of God. And his words are the words of the Almighty speaking into the Sogovashari Geserubla Kavasi, the national realm, the spiritual realm, the political realm, the military realm. And now, Lord, we pray over these prayer requests, these from our partners. Lord, I lift them to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, truly, we love our partners. Truly, Lord, we know that you love our unity with them. We know you love our unity in Canada with our partners. And I pray over each and every one of these requests in the name of Jesus. And believe, Lord, that not one of these requests is left untouched by the power of the Almighty God. And that, Lord, you said that your eyes are searching to and fro. You're just looking for the people that you can show yourself strong to. Lord, show yourself strong tonight. Show yourself strong through Brother Copeland. Show yourself strong in ministry to these partners. Show yourself strong to this congregation. Show yourself strong on every dish and satellite and cable and internet outlet. Show yourself strong amongst us, Lord. Here we are, Lord. We love you and we have faith. We have faith, Lord, that the door is open wide and that this platform belongs to you. This is your place. This is your time. This is your kingdom. And we are your people. We are your people. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.